that you created this world for us and that you made it beautiful so that we could walk out these doors and that we could see the grass and we could see the flowers, we could see the birds and hear them. We just thank you that you have done all these things for us. We pray that you be with us, that as we dig into your word right now, Lord, that we can be focused on you. We can remember that this has absolutely nothing to do with us, but it is all to do with you. We pray that you work in us today, that we seek you above everything else. We pray that you forgive us for all the times that we fail you. We just want to see your kingdom spread here on earth. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm sorry for my cough, for my hoarseness. If any of you were awake at 9:30 last night and you heard the fire trucks come through town, I was at the state track meet for the past couple of days. I have grown to appreciate the Midwest and their weather, where on Friday I got a sunburn and on Saturday I got frostbite. The seventh grade boys went to the state track meet and came home with the first place trophy. So I spent all weekend yelling and cajoling and telling people to, I mean, track is easy. Run fast and turn left. It's really easy. It's like NASCAR, but slower and less wrecks. So I've spent all weekend yelling, so I'm a little hoarse this morning, so forgive me for that. Mel asked me to preach on this a couple weeks ago. His son is graduating from high school today, and he said, you know, I want to spend some time with my family this week, and I just want to be with them. Would you preach for me? It was not a, of course. You go spend time with your family. So he's asked me to do this. It's outside of my normal. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago. Some of you are still trying to get over the last time I preached. But he asked me to preach on chapter 2 of the book that we've been going through. And it really, it got me thinking about things as I was reading through it. You know, I can fondly remember when Jennifer and I first met. I can fondly remember the first date that we ever took. The first date we ever took was I had a project that I had to do, and for this project, I needed to watch a movie because I was in charge of the media portion of this project. I had to get all the video clips to go in there. I know it's a big surprise. Matt, the video clip king, had to come up with video clips for this project. And so we were doing this project, and it was on witchcraft in America. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go get The Little Mermaid, and I'm going to watch The Little Mermaid because there's witches in The Little Mermaid, and I can get some cute clips for it. So I told Jennifer, I said, I've got to go to the video store. I've got to rent The Little Mermaid. I've got to watch it so I can get a clip out of it to do for my project. And she says, well, I got to go to Walmart to get some laundry detergent. And I was just trying to save gas. I was just trying to be economical, and I said, well, Jennifer, I have to go, so why don't I just give you a ride to Walmart and you can get your laundry detergent? I'm just trying to save you money. I'm just trying to be a blessing. So we went, I rented the movie, we went and got her laundry detergent, and we come back, and I pulled up in front of her dorm, and my intentions were I'm going to pull up in front of her dorm, she can get out, she can go do her laundry, and I'm going to go back to my dorm room, and I'm going to watch The Little Mermaid. And so as she's getting out of the car, she says, well, are you going to come in and watch The Little Mermaid in here so we can watch it together? Duh. Of course I'm going to. So I let her off, and I went and parked the car, and I went in, and we sat down in the front of her dorm building, and we proceeded to talk the entire time through The Little Mermaid. I didn't watch it. I had it memorized anyway. I don't know why I needed to watch it again. I think it was just an excuse to drive her to go get some laundry detergent. We spent our first date talking for 2 hours. I had to go and watch the movie again to find the clips. Then we had our first official date 2 days later. I took her to Steak and Shake, and she was so nervous that she ordered a cookies and cream milkshake and couldn't even eat half of it. She was so nervous. I, of course, ate my entire steak burger and fries, and I think I even helped finish her milkshake because I wanted to eat. We went back and we sat and we talked for another 3 hours. Our relationship is built on the fact that we absolutely love to talk to each other. If people ask me today, Matt, what's one of your favorite things to do? I'm honest. My favorite thing to do is to sit and talk with my wife. I absolutely love it. Now that she's ready to kill me because I've talked about her, and Elizabeth is ready to throw up because I've been talking about her, what on earth does this have to do with this book on prayer? Well, you see, communication is the key to any good relationship. No one is going to argue that. To have a good marriage, you have to have good communication. Well, why don't we think that that same idea would work with our most important relationship, our one with God? Wouldn't communication be the most important thing to our relationship with God? And how do we communicate with God? We do it through prayer. I love to blindside kids at youth group and volunteer them to pray because I love that look of fear on their face. Because we turn prayer into a scary thing. We turn prayer into, I have to use the right words or everyone's going to make fun of me. I have to say it in just the right way or it's not going to work. God's not going to hear it if I don't say it the right way. Well, you know what? It's not that at all. Prayer should be easy. It should be just us communicating with a God that loves us. We're going through chapter 2 right now, and chapter 2 is about the different types of prayer, different ways to communicate with God. The five types of prayer are praise and thanksgiving, confession, petition, intercession, and meditation. It's important to understand and to use all five types of communication in our lives. It's just the same as having a balanced diet. And as I was reading these five types of prayer, it struck me that Jesus uses all five types of prayer in the model prayer. Let's read the model prayer together from Matthew chapter 6. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the way that we are to pray. This is the way that Jesus has taught us to pray. He has all five types mixed in there. So in this prayer, he is addressing God in several different ways. The first type of prayer is praise and thanksgiving. You know, we serve an all-powerful God. We serve a perfect God. Why shouldn't the first thing out of our mouth be praise and adoration to our Father? Jesus starts the prayer by saying, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. He starts his prayer by praising God. Read the words of Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. See, when we acknowledge Jesus and we acknowledge Jesus' name, when we acknowledge God and his name, we are praising him. How often do people go to extreme lengths to protect their name? I don't want someone to spread some rumor about me because it's going to tarnish my name. You see, we hold our names in high regard. Shouldn't we hold God's in high regard as well? His name is to be kept holy. We praise him by protecting his name. You know, if someone insulted my wife, it would be an insult to me. If someone insults my God, shouldn't it be an insult to me as well? Our goal is to constantly be praising God with everything that we say and everything that we do. Psalm 100 tells us, Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. See, our first response to God should always be praise and adoration. You know, when you meet a friend that you haven't seen for years, it's one of those deep friendships that even though you haven't seen each other for a long time, you know that as soon as you come back around each other, that everything is exactly the way it was the last time you met. You remember a couple of years ago, Jennifer and I went to Chicago, and one night while we were up there, we visited with one of my friends from college, probably one of my best friends. And I can remember we met at a pizza place in downtown Chicago, and he and I see each other from across the courtyard, and we ran up to each other and gave each other a big hug. We spent hours, and you know, if you get Chicago-style pizza, it takes hours to cook. So we had hours to sit and talk, and it was absolutely an amazing and wonderful time, just being together in each other's friendship. I know if I called Mark up right now and talk to him, we could spend hours talking on the phone, and it would be absolutely no problem to us because we have a deep and abiding love for each other. That's the feeling that we should have towards God. Our first response when talking about God is to say all the things that he has done for us, to list them, to praise him for them, because he has done so many things for us. The second type of prayer is confession. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When we come before God, our next response should be to open up our heart and say, God, this is who I am. This is what I've done. We need to admit our sins and ask for forgiveness. God tells us in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You see, confession is something we are very nervous about doing. I don't want to confess my sins to God because then I have to deal with the consequences. Then I have to admit that I have done something wrong. We don't want to confess. I don't want God to know who I really am. Really? You don't want a God that knows everything anyway to know how you are? He already knows. It's time for you to admit those things. I might have told you this story before. I can't remember. I tell so many stories to so many groups, I forget. When I was a kid, I had a rabbit. My rabbit's name was Guess. Because when people would come up to me and they say, "What's your rabbit's name?" Guess. And they would go through all the names. No, it's Guess. It was just a fun game that I played. It's my sarcastic sense of humor. Well, my parents left to go on a date, and the last thing my dad says before he walks out the door is, "Matt, don't forget to feed your rabbit." I said, "Okay, Dad." I then spent the next several hours playing my Nintendo, forgot to feed my rabbit. My dad walks in the door, and the first thing he says to me as he walks in the door is, "Matt, I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you feed your rabbit?" Now, of course, I owned up, I fessed up to my sin and said, "No, Dad, I forgot. I've been playing video games this whole time. I'm sorry for disrespecting you and not giving you the honor that you deserve." No, I lied to my dad and said, "Yeah, I fed the rabbit." And he says, "Matt, it's a brand new bag of rabbit food. It's not been opened. How did you feed the rabbit?" Oh, man, why'd you have to be smarter than me? You see, I didn't want to admit my failings to my dad, but he already knew. He still loved me. He gave me the opportunity to do the right thing. I just messed it up. You see, we don't want to confess because we don't want to deal with the consequences. He knows, and he loves us. He knew the sins we were going to commit before we committed them, and he died for us before we were ever born. Why is it we're afraid to come before him and say, "You know what, God, I messed up, and I'm sorry"? God already knows our hearts. We need to bring it to him in confession. We're told in 2 Chronicles 7, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." You see, if we seek God and his forgiveness, He will restore everything that is going awry in our lives. Shouldn't we want that? When we look at the condition of our country, you know, one of our candidates says that he wants to make America great again. And I'm sorry, he might be able to do some good things to help America, but America is not going to be great again until we humble ourselves, confess our sins, and seek him with all that we have. If we truly want to make America great, you take the Trump signs down and put God signs up. You see, when we refuse to confess our sins to God, when we refuse to admit that we have sinned, we are in essence calling God a liar. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, "This is a message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." I don't want to call God a liar. I don't want to call an all-powerful, loving God a liar. But we do that when we say that Satan's ways are better than his. And that's what we're doing when we sin. When we say, oh, you know, Satan says, it's okay, get mad at that person in traffic. You don't have to love them. You can say whatever you want about them. It'll make you feel better. But does it really? Does it really make you feel better? When those sins come up and Satan says, it's okay, this is much easier, it's much better than the way that God wants you to do things. Is it really? When Satan was in the garden and he said, hey, it's okay, just take a bite of this apple and you will be like God. Everything will be okay. Is it? Are things really better now that we went down that road? Absolutely not. You see, when we sin and we refuse to confess it, we are calling God a liar. I don't want to be in that boat. The third type of prayer is petition. Jesus says, give us today the food we need. We're supposed to take our needs before God. We are supposed to bring them to him. We're told in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As I was reading this, because I'm a child of watching too much TV, two thoughts came to my head as I read this. My first thought was the TV show from the 80s called The A-Team. I loved The A-Team. I would watch every episode of it. It's on Netflix now, and it's in my queue to start watching that. I absolutely watch it, because the show is basically, you have a problem, something is going wrong in your life, and you seek the A-Team, and they come and fix your problem. Then there's the Ghostbusters, too. You know, the Ghostbusters, when something's going on in your house, when things are happening, who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters. You know what? The Ghostbusters, they do a great job, but they leave some things not right. The A-Team, they did a great job, but I can never understand how an elite special forces unit is never able to hit what they're shooting at. You watch the A-Team, no one ever gets shot. How can you be an elite army unit and have that bad of aim? I just don't get it. But when they leave, problems are still there. You see, we're told in Philippians, when we have problems, we're supposed to, with prayer and petition, take them to God. We are supposed to approach him with all of our problems. But God is not, as we saw in the video, God is not a giant Santa Claus. up in heaven just there to give us what we need, what we want. You see, Paul says that when we ask for things, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. See, Paul doesn't say, ask for what you want and you're going to get it. He says, ask for what you want, and a peace that you'll never be able to understand will come from God. You see, we're supposed to take our prayers and petitions to God. But sometimes yes is not the answer that's in our best interest. Sometimes the answer is not yet. And sometimes the answer is no, but trust me. It is our job to take our prayers and petitions to God because He wants to do what we need. He wants to bring about His own glory through our lives. Sometimes His glory comes from no, but just trust me. The fourth type of prayer is intercession. Intercession is when we pray for other people. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You see, intercession is a prayer that focuses on the needs of others. We pray for people a lot. We pray for people that are having health difficulties. We pray for cancer. These are all great things to pray for. These are things that we need to be bringing to God. We also need to be bringing people's eternal souls to God. You see, Jesus says there, rescue us from the evil one. When we intercede for people, we should be bringing their physical needs to Christ, but we should be bringing their souls to Christ as well. We should have lists of people that we are praying for Jesus to work in their lives and for them to see who He is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was traveling through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and He healed every kind of disease and illness. You see, Jesus was going through the towns healing. He was doing things for people. Then He says, when He sees the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send workers into this field. Jesus was out in towns doing things for people. He cared about their physical condition. He healed. He fed. He cast out demons. He cared about their physical condition, but He didn't leave it there. He told the disciples, your job is to intercede with them for them in prayer that the Lord of the harvest might send workers into the field. It is our job to be praying for people to come to know Christ. You see, we don't bring people to Christ. Mel does not bring people to Christ. I don't bring people to Christ. None of you do. The Holy Spirit does. Shouldn't we be praying for the Holy Spirit to come and to work in people's lives? I have a list of all of the high schoolers and all the middle schoolers that I pray for every week. And when I go through the names, my common prayer, because of the group that we have been blessed with by God, my common prayer is, please, Lord, open their eyes that they can see You. Please, Lord, open their eyes that they can see You. I got two girls right now that I've been praying for a year that we are just trying to find a time that we can schedule that they can come on Sunday morning and get baptized together, that they have decided that they wanted to give everything to Jesus. That's awesome. It has absolutely nothing to do with me, and it all comes from the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying for people. I can say this because JR is not here. JR has been sitting in those pews for a couple of years. His name, I can remember when we used to have, you know, the prayer bulletin, and we would go and we would have prayer on Sunday night, and we would sit down and we had a list of people we were praying for that for their salvation. JR was at the top of our list for since Jennifer and I got here. JR was the name at the top of the list. It's not there anymore because we got the opportunity to worship with him through baptism. We need to be praying for those. The fifth type of prayer is meditation. Meditation is when we quiet ourselves and seek him. Jesus does this when he says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, how can we know what God's will is if we're not seeking him? This is our opportunity to do what it says in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. How can we be praying for his will if we don't know who he is? Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. How do we find him? We find him by quietly seeking him, by listening to him, listening to what he has to say, reading his word and asking him to speak to us through him. I was just upstairs talking to the kids during Sunday school, and we were talking about prayer up there. We were talking about quieting ourselves and getting rid of the distractions of life. And I said, you know what? You are the most distracted generation ever. And your kids will be even more distracted than you are. We have so many things in our life that distract us from God. We need to quiet ourselves and to seek him, but we don't like that. We don't like being quiet. I was on the last weekend, Elizabeth and I went up to see a movie, and we were driving home from seeing the movie, and I'm okay driving in silence. I'm okay sitting there and not talking. It's perfectly okay with me. So we're driving, and she says, Dad, do you like silence? I said, well, yeah, kinda, now that you're ruining it, yeah. She says, I don't like silence. I said, then okay, what do you want to talk about? So we talked about the movie that we had gone to see. She doesn't like silence. She likes to sit in a room, and she likes to listen to music. She likes to do things. But you know, we have so many things that distract us. We can't stand it. When I was in training to be a manager at Papa John's, we had a policy at Papa John's that no one could be on hold for more than a minute. If you were on hold for more than a minute, we'd done our job wrong. We needed more people answering the phone and doing it quickly. So as we're in training for this, my supervisor says, all right, I want all you trainees to sit down here, and we're going to do this experiment. I'm going to have you guess when a minute is. You can't look at your watch, and you can't look at your phone. And he says, I want you to guess when a minute has gone up, and we sat there. I was the last one to put my hand up. I was at 57 seconds. Because we are so used to noise. We are so used to distractions that when it comes to silence, sometimes it's uncomfortable. So I'm going to make you uncomfortable today. I'm going to try this. We're going to be quiet. We're going to be silent. Don't look at your phone. Don't look at your watch. And don't look at the clock. And I'm going to time a minute. When you think a minute is up, raise your hand. Okay? So I'm going to tell you when to start. When you think a minute is up, just raise your hand. And then I'll tell you when a minute is up. And we've got to be silent. So ready? When you think a minute is up, raise your hand. That's a minute. First hand went up at 40 seconds. See, we're and some of you, I could tell as I was looking around, some of you were uncomfortable with a minute's worth of silence. We don't like sitting there. We don't like it being quiet. But you know what? It's when we quiet ourselves that we can truly hear who God is. God's word in Psalm was, be still and know that I am God. When we meditate on God, we have to be still and we have to listen to him. We were upstairs, we read the story of Elijah when Elijah's on Mount Sinai and he's in the cave and God says, all right, I'm going to come talk to you. You're having a bad day. I'm going to come talk to you. There was a huge windstorm so bad that it broke rocks apart. But God wasn't in the windstorm. There was an earthquake that shook the mountain. But God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire so intense that to this day, the rocks are still black. But God wasn't in the fire. See, God was at the mouth of the cave whispering to Elijah. And as soon as he heard the whisper, he covered his face. See, God is not in the windstorm. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's at the mouth of the cave whispering to us. And what do you have to do when you're in a noisy place and the person next to you is whispering? You have to close your eyes and you have to give all of your attention to the one whispering to you. That's how we meditate on God. We get rid of all of the distractions and we meditate on Him and His Word. See, prayer isn't complex. It's not complicated. Prayer is our communication with God. Why is it important for us to do this? Well, would you have a healthy marriage if you didn't communicate with your spouse? No. Would you have a healthy relationship with your kids if you never communicated with them? No. As a track coach, would I have a healthy relationship with the members of my team if there were ones that I never talked to? No. If our relationships on earth are dependent upon our communication, why wouldn't our relationship with God? Why is it important to focus on all five areas of prayer? You need a balanced diet, don't you? I mean, Casey's, on the Casey's pizza box, it says, so this is truth because I've read it in print, a balanced diet is a piece of pizza in each hand. That is my idea of a balanced diet. We see, if you don't have a balanced diet, if you take a baby and you feed them nothing but orange baby food for a week, they turn orange. It's weird. I oftentimes wanted to do that as an experiment just to see if I could turn my kids orange, but Jennifer wouldn't let me. It ruins all my fun. You see, when we practice all of the parts of prayer, we're practicing a balanced diet of communication. If all I did was ever tell my wife how I wanted her to fix supper and how I wanted her to wash the dishes, how I wanted her to take care of me, if that's all I ever did was communicate my wants and needs to my wife, do you think she would ever listen to me? No. We need to balance our diet of prayer with all the types of communication to God. And yes, sometimes it feels weird. You guys are going to go home, and tomorrow morning you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to go to do your quiet time, and you're going to say, I'm going to meditate on God. Everything is going to be a distraction, and it is going to be so hard to do it. But you just got to do it. I can remember teaching a kid how to shoot free throws. He could not shoot free throws to save his life. And he would come up to the line, and he would completely miss the rim. And I said, all right, I'm going to show you how to shoot a free throw. And I demonstrated the form. And of course, when I shot it, it was a perfect hit because it's just me. So I showed him how to shoot a free throw. And I said, this is the form you have to shoot your free throw. And I set him up. I stood next to him. And I said, this is how you put your foot. This is how you hold the ball. This is the way your follow through looks. This is everything. And I showed him, this is how to shoot a free throw. And I said, and shoot it. And his form was perfect. I said, that's it. You do that every time. He said, and he missed the shot. He said, but it felt weird. I said, yes, it felt weird. You've been shooting free throws wrong for 10 years. I'm showing you how to shoot them right. It is going to feel weird. But as the season progressed, every practice, go shoot your free throws. And he keeps shooting the free throws. He would miss some and he would make some. Got to the point where at the end of the season, I would love to do this at the end of practice. Kids are dead tired. Everybody run it down and back as hard as you can. They'd run to the end, they'd come back, and I'd throw the ball out there. I said, somebody hits a free throw, we're done. If you miss, we do it again. This kid picks up the ball, walks up, perfect form, and nails it. I said, did that feel weird? He goes, no, it felt right. That's what happens when you build muscle memory. When you do it right over and over and over again, it feels right. Prayer is hard. I struggle with it. I'm going to go home tomorrow morning, and I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to try and meditate, and it's going to be hard. Well, we have to do it. We can't let it being hard stop us from doing it. We have to use all the forms of communication, and we have to communicate with God. And you know what? Prayer is not always about God. Oftentimes, it's about us humbling ourselves and coming before God. I'm going to challenge you. Tonight, we have prayer meeting. Mel's not going to be there. Mel's going to graduation. Mel's not going to be there, but we're going to have prayer meeting tonight. Come to prayer meeting. Spend some time interceding for those around you. Wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning. The first thing that you do, go before God and start your day off by being still and knowing that He is God, because He loves us and He wants to have the prominent position in our life. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You. You are an absolutely awesome God. You love us in spite of us. We pray that You be with us and help us as we seek You, that we want to put You first in everything that we say and everything that we do. We want You to be the goal in our life. We pray that You be with us as we seek You through prayer, through continuing to work through this book, to continuing to go through Scripture, continuing to seek You. We pray that You be with us, that it becomes habit, that it becomes joyful. We pray that You work in us and draw us closer to You with every day that we seek You. We love You and we praise You. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.